On this episode of Current & Brides, I talked to Elizabeth Kramer. And guys, if you are looking for information about anything related to having a wedding now, having a wedding in 2021, planning for it, this is the podcast for you. Elizabeth and I dive into whether or not, you know, you want your guests to get COVID tested before coming to your wedding, county and state rules, regulations. I mean, she really did a great job about covering it all and just talk about everything on all ends of the spectrum. She is a vendor, so she even talks about some of those non-refundable fees that you might get charged. So definitely tune in. This is a great one. Welcome to this episode of Corona Brides. I'm your host, Jordy, and today we have one, Elizabeth, who is a wedding coordinator based out of Portland, Oregon. Elizabeth, thank you so much for being on with us today.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, Jordy.
Yes, Elizabeth, and this is such an interesting interview we are going to dive into because I didn't think that our winter brides would be facing the same challenges that our spring and summer brides faced.
Right there with you. Weren't we all hoping that at this point the pandemic would be a distant memory, huh?
I absolutely thought that. I had to change my wedding along with so many others, and I thought to myself, you know what? Maybe I should push it back all the way to December. Surely we'd be out of the woods by then, mm-hmm. And here we are.
Here we are.
So crazy. Do you have any weddings lined up this month?
Oh, good question. So no, I don't have any in December, which isn't actually abnormal for me. I'm sure you've heard this either talking to other couples or talking to vendors, but there's such a thing as the wedding season, right? It's often weather dependent. So I'm in Portland, so the Pacific Northwest. So my season is mainly May through October. It's kind of when we get the best weather here. And so I usually don't have weddings in the winter, but I definitely don't this month.
Yeah, for sure. People were like, not even going to go there. So what did a majority of your brides do during your wedding season? Did they postpone, reschedule? Where were they at?
Oh, boy. I mean, it really ran the gamut. So just to give you a sense, I've done 3 weddings this year. So that's a lot fewer than I normally do. I'm a full-time wedding planner. So a lot of different vendors do it different ways, but I'm full-time. This is my job that I do. And so for comparison, in 2019, so last year, I did 18 weddings. So 3 is a lot fewer than I normally do. And I did 2 in February, which was right before the pandemic came to our part of the world. Actually, I did my last kind of, if we want to say, pre-pandemic wedding the day after the first COVID case was reported in Oregon. So it's kind of weird to think about now. I wrote about it on my blog, and I was reading that post the other day, and I'm like, oh my God, if only I knew. But that wedding was on leap day. And I remember, you know, there were headlines about this thing called COVID, and I, you know, turned to my husband, I'm like, well, I guess I'll go and I'll just wash my hands more, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, now here we are in December, and it's just completely different.
It really is. Yeah. It's just the craziest thing ever. And it's just everybody, I think, is all over the place because we're so hopeful. We, of course, want to be able to, everybody wants to have the wedding of their dreams, but it is just such a hard thing, which really brings me to the piece that you wrote, which everybody can find on your website at elizabethkramer.com. That's the big question that I think all of the brides, the grooms, and the wedding, anybody involved in a wedding is asking themselves. Should you ask your wedding guests and vendors to take a COVID test? Tell people about that and what you wrote.
Definitely. So, you know, like I said, I had 3 weddings this year. So those 2 were in February and then I had 1 in October. So during the pandemic, I had a lot of couples in between them that did a variety of different things. Everything from we're going to get legally married and then we'll reschedule what our larger party was going to be to 2021 or 2022 to we're going to have our wedding this year. It's going to be in Oregon, you need 5 people to get married. It's going to be that size or maybe a little bit bigger. And then, you know, we're not going to do whatever our original plan was, all kinds of things. But as far as this question of testing, I wrote the piece recently because it's been coming up more, right? This question mm-hmm. of, okay, I want to have a wedding. I want to start my marriage between now and whenever the vaccine is widely distributed, question mark, question mark.
exactly.
But, you know, should I test? And I wrote the piece because I've been having a lot of conversations with couples and with other vendors around this concept of joy, right? So I do my job as a wedding planner, which is, you know, not a super well-paid job. The hours are long. I work weekends. You know, there's not a lot that's glamorous about being a wedding planner. But I do this job to access joy and to help couples and people in love experience that feeling of joy in a wedding day. I'm a big believer that, you know, a wedding day should be magical and joyful. It is also the beginning of a much longer commitment, a marriage. But I really want people to feel joy on their wedding day. And the wedding I worked in October, I didn't really see that joy happen until a lot of people had left. And I think that's because, and I want to stress this wedding was abided by all county and state regulations. It was legal, which I know is crazy to say in this day and age, but is important. Masks were required except for eating and drinking. Tables were socially distanced. The tables were often grouped by guests who were either in their own household or had some type of bubble. You know, this couple had really done everything you could beyond requiring testing or requiring quarantine or canceling the wedding altogether. And even then, sitting in this room of, you know, 40, 45 people, including vendors, you know, we're tense, right? We're not used to that. We're not used to sitting in a room right now, even if we're masked. It's just not what we've been doing. And I think a lot of people would correctly argue that it's probably something we shouldn't be doing, right? At least at this moment in the pandemic. So that experience of not really seeing this particular couple unclench until everybody had left and they were kind of with their core group. I'm not sure what their rules were with each other, but they felt safe enough to be unmasked and touching with each other. You know, until that core group left, I didn't really see that couple kind of settle in and enjoy themselves and access that joy that is really such a part of my work and what I had seen at all of the weddings I've ever done before the COVID pandemic. And I've heard very similar things from other planners around the country. I was speaking to a planner in New York who was talking about one of the best weddings she's done all year, actually the best wedding she's done all year. The couple required testing and then had a 2-week quarantine for anyone who came to their wedding. So both guests and vendors. It was about 10 or 15 people, but, you know, did what I think we think of as the full meal deal, right?
Yes, that's what I would say for sure.
And I'm not saying, you know, you have to do that if you're going to get married during the pandemic. I'm just saying that it's easier to access joy if you feel safe, right? I think that's just a very basic rule. And so should you require your test to get tested? I think it's a question of sitting down with your partner, like all things wedding planning, and ask yourselves what I think is the most important question. Why are we doing this? Why are we having this wedding? Why are we having this wedding right now? And that's a tough question. It's a very challenging question. There's a lot to think about: money, emotion, family, insurance benefits, kids, the whole thing, right? Also a very important question that can be very clarifying. So, you know, I know that's not a, yes, you should have a test if you have a wedding. But I do think it's something you need to think about if this is something you want to do in this moment in time.
Absolutely. And I do think that it also depends very much on where you are. I know in New York, the rules seem to be very, very strict. And because there are so many more people, you know, I could see someone doing it in New York. But if you're having an outdoor wedding, I mean, maybe you socially distance. I think that there really is no exact answer to this, but that is definitely a good option. And I hadn't talked to anyone who had done that. So in your opinion, if someone was considering doing this, how do you think they could go about asking their guests and family members?
Well, I do have thoughts on that. I also want to point out kind of what you said about where. I hear that a lot, right? If I'm having a wedding outdoors in a rural county where there's not a lot of people, do I have to care? I am a big believer in that. Yes, you do. I don't care where you live. You know, the virus doesn't care where you live. You need to prioritize health and safety for yourself, for the people you hire, for your loved ones. I mean, I have had so many horror stories this year from people who are having weddings and the couple gets sick, their family gets sick, their vendors get sick. You know, I mean, I don't mean to invoke fear, but I think, you know, this is December, right? We know what this means. We know how this works. And for better, well, not for better, for definitely for worse, weddings have a lot of characteristics of super spreader events. It just, that is what a wedding is, right? We're gathered here today. And I think to ignore that is dangerous. And I really encourage couples. I know that sucks. Believe me, the pain and grief that I have talked with couples through this year, it's horrible. It's a horrible part of my job right now. It's a horrible part of their lived experience. You know, speaking very, you know, very selfishly, like, you know, this is my full-time work, right? I mean, This has been a very challenging year for me financially, for my business, trying to decide if it's safe for me to go to work. I hate COVID too, I guess is the point of that. Mm-hmm. So it's just something I like to point out because sometimes I think people think, well, it doesn't apply to me, right? But you have to think about, right. You have to think about travel, you know? I mean, a lot of times people are traveling to come to your wedding. Maybe they're not traveling through cross states. Maybe they're not taking a plane, but they might be traveling across counties. Different counties have different rules. You know, you got to think about your vendors, right? I mean, your vendors are working different events. They have different bubbles. So, you know, again, I don't hear this and think like, oh, well, there's no hope for me. There are a lot of options, but I don't want people to think, you know, well, if I do this, this, and this, I'm okay. I wish that was the case, but it often is not. As far as the question of, okay, so me and my partner, we want to get married. Should we have tests? How do we do that? You know, it's interesting. I noticed this before the pandemic, but couples are often very afraid to ask things of their guests, right? There's this fear of, mm-hmm. I need to make them feel comfortable. And that's true, right? These are people you love. These are people who mean the world to you. They might be people who are financially contributing to your wedding, right? So there's that kind of element. But if I've noticed anything about weddings, people who are your guests at weddings want you and your partner to have a good day, right? And we know that, right? We know it when we hear about like, it's your day. But people forget it. The actual couple often forgets it, that anybody who loves you, they're going to go above and beyond to make sure you enjoy your wedding. They're particularly going to do that if you've been planning a wedding during a pandemic because they feel really bad for you. Yes. So keep that in mind. So, you know, I have language on my site about this, but it can be really simple, right? No, you're not fooling anybody at this point. Hey, my partner and I, we're still planning to have our wedding in March. You know, if this is how it's abiding by county and safety, right? Your county and state regulations. Here's our safety protocol. I have a template that you can use that actually shows you different things to consider. And as far as testing, hey, we're going to require testing. Here's a few places where you can get it. If it's any type of financial burden or your insurance won't cover it, please feel free to reach out to us. We're also requiring these people who are also attending our wedding, these would be your vendors, to have testing. This is kind of what our quarantine situation is. People think this is not a cool conversation to have, that it's offensive or maybe it's going to kill the mood or, oh my God, this isn't fun. It's super important. And more than anything, your guests are going to thank you because they want to know. Anybody who gets a wedding invite right now, they want to know, right? I mean, I think it's foolish to think, oh, well, they don't care. You know, we just want to, you know, not think about this stuff. People are thinking about it. And you're really doing everybody a favor if you're just upfront, you know, and you're realistic and you're human about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think that it is very real, but I do agree with, we're kind of scared to have that conversation with people. But at the end of the day, if they love you, they're going to do exactly what you
want. Or if they just love themselves. I mean, definitely if they love you. But I mean, I don't know about you. I don't know anybody who's trying to get COVID, right?
No, so. I know. Everyone's like, oh, let's just steer clear. I know. That's totally true. So I listened to the podcast, Life in Lockdown, the Love Edition, and I loved it because they were talking about dating, marriage. They kind of covered all things on the board. And Bradford Wilcox wrote in Washington Post that crisis has a way of bringing people together. And I found that to be so interesting because, you know, I often wondered, like, you're a wedding coordinator. Have you heard of anybody actually splitting up during this time and canceling their wedding altogether?
I shouldn't laugh. You know, it's funny. I got asked that question a lot before the pandemic, right? Of like, yeah. Have any of your couples ever gone divorced? And it's like, well, I don't know, man. I mean, I wish I could say, if you let me marry you, you have 100% success rate, but have I heard any couples breaking up? None of my couples that I know of. I have heard anecdotally of a couples. You know, I mean, my friends, my coworkers are wedding vendors, so we all work with a ton of people. And I have heard that. And I mean, I guess my feeling with that is just honestly how I feel as a human being about relationships. It's like, well, better figure that out now before all the legal stuff. But yeah, as far as like, I really liked what you said about, you know, having the crisis bring you closer together. I haven't made this joke so much recently because I think we're all a little pandemic fatigued, but definitely in the early months of the pandemic, and I still believe it to be true, the couples that I'm working with who are going through this, whatever this means, right? Planning a wedding during the pandemic, getting married during the pandemic, you know, in some ways I feel like it's relationship hazing. And I do think the couples who are going through it are going to be stronger for it. And I know that can feel very trite, particularly when you're living it, particularly when you're like, oh my God, I'd much rather not have a global pandemic. I would have just liked to have my wedding, please and thank you. But, you know, I mean, I do see that. I do see couples having conversations that just make me so happy, because they're conversations that I have been advocating for years with my couples and with all couples, because they are the conversations that will set you two up for success and having your marriage. And isn't that why we're doing this whole thing, is to give birth to your marriage?
Yes, absolutely. So did you call it couple hazing or wedding hazing? I've never heard.
If I said couple, I meant, couple hazing, I guess, works just kind of like this hazing of just of like, can we make it through this? You know, yes. I mean, like, you know,
who knew
we were going to run this obstacle course in addition to all of the stress of wedding planning? Because, you know, planning a wedding wasn't exactly easy before the virus, right. But it's not easy now.
I know. And it's so true. And I really think that it makes you kind of sit back and think, okay, who am I surrounding myself with, first of all, like in any type of relationship, friends, family, anything, you know? And then whenever you actually look at your significant other, you're like, okay, if I can quarantine with you, then I can be with you for the rest of my life. And you know, it's so interesting, because I think there was serious conversations to be had. And I think some people quarantine together and then they were like, bye.
Yeah.
You know, you're not really my cup of tea anymore.
Well, I'd much rather have them figure that out now, right? Than maybe the finances are blended, or if they decide to have children, if there's children, you know, it's like, okay, you know, if we needed to know. Again, it's interesting you mentioned this, because as you can imagine, you know, I have weddings on the books for 2021, right? And a good portion of those weddings are weddings that rescheduled from 2020. And so these are couples that at this point I'm working with, it'll probably be upwards of 2 years. I'm working with a lot of these couples. And what's interesting is it hasn't come up a lot yet, because it's December, and I don't know about you, but I just kind of want to get through the end of this year and then I'll see what next year brings. Right. But,
for sure.
But I'm beginning to get some questions of like, okay, Beth, how do we even celebrate this? Right. Like, if you're the couple that you got married in 2020, maybe you had like you had a wedding day planned, and either you got legally married in a safer, smaller wedding that day, or maybe you picked up the whole thing and moved it to 2021, or some variation in between that. There's this question of, okay, I am married now, but I still am having a wedding. I'm going to kind of have two weddings, at a wedding in 2020 and a wedding in 2021. What do I do? You know, I get a lot of questions around etiquette, like what's the okay thing to do? And if you haven't already picked up in the 10 minutes we've been talking, I'm a big believer in, if it brings you joy and it's not hurting other people, it's an okay thing to do. But to that point, if you are the person that is like, I'm going to have my 2021 wedding, how do I recognize my 2020 wedding? I actually think there's a lot of fun there. There's a lot of room to be creative. Because I've talked to couples about, like, if you want to do the whole shebang, you know, and but you're worried, like, oh, are people going to think that's weird because they know that we got married? Those people aren't there for the right reasons. They're not there to celebrate joy and love, which is what a wedding is about, right? Sure. If you're like, you know what, we kind of did the ceremony. We feel like we participated in that ritual, that was a really meaningful day for us. And now we want to have a party, or, you know, we don't actually want to do anything. We're kind of fatigued. Like, we thought we'd want to do something. That's okay too. You know, those feelings are all valid. All I encourage couples to do is to lead with empathy, because if you get to that place of like, the wedding that we're planning now either doesn't involve certain people, certain vendors, or hey, we actually don't want to do that thing we rescheduled because we're kind of over it and we just want to be married now, and maybe you're canceling that, you know, lead with empathy when you're talking to your vendors and your venue, because there's a lot of money involved, and it's your money and it's also their money. And I'm happy to get into that more, because I know that can be a very fraught topic, but just try and be honest and human about that. Because people in the service industry, we do this work to serve you. And, you know, that doesn't go away, even if we're asking, like, hey, we do need to be compensated too.
That's true. And you know what? It's interesting. I could definitely see people that, like, in their heart, like, if they were going to get married in June or May, they were like, you know what, I'm going to reschedule it for May 2021. And now they just want to get married, went to the JP, and they're done. I mean,
definitely,
that probably happens a lot.
Well, I've had a lot of people, and it makes me laugh a little bit, because, you know, I saw this before the pandemic, but people are actually like, I actually really kind of liked my pandemic wedding. Is that weird? You know? And I'm happy to hear it, right? Because I want people to experience joy. And I know how hard couples have fought for that joy this year, you know, and how many challenging choices they've had to make, right? I mean, they maybe originally had planned 100 people, and now they ended up, for very good, very important reasons, ended up with maybe 5 people on a mountain somewhere, completely 180 from what they thought about. But they actually really had a good day. You know, they had a day that was about their love, and they would have had that if they'd had their bigger celebration. But it feels like such a win to me that they had that with the smaller celebration, because, and oftentimes a lot of the people that they love most in the world couldn't be there in person, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe weren't there at all. Maybe the virtual connection thing didn't work, right? And so I don't want couples to kick themselves if they are feeling guilty about that triumph, because that is a triumph. That is a win.
Really,
if you
is.
Found joy this year. You know, so I've begun to get kind of snippets of that, of like, hey, Beth, we actually kind of liked that thing that we did. Is that okay? And I was like, well, I don't know. Was it okay for you and your partner? Okay by me, you know, and just be honest though, because then of course we need to have the conversation of, do you still need me? You know, and if you still need me, or you paid me money for something, we need to be honest about that. That's the money I live on. And that, and a lot of times I've been keeping you on my books. And so that there might be money that I am entitled to just because I have been working for you, even though we're not going to do the thing you originally thought you hired me for.
That's true. That is very true. And I think that you're probably one of the first interviews that I've had that has been, you know, open about that, because I think that that's a question that's, ooh, it's very tough. And as a vendor, like, I mean, like you said, that's the money that you live on. So you have to be able to figure something out with the person that scheduled you to begin with.
Definitely. Yeah. And, you know, I want to acknowledge, like, you know, the average cost of a wedding in America is $34,000, right? That's a lot of money. That's a down payment in many parts of this country, let alone maybe a big chunk of student loans, or God forbid we wanted to have a child. You know, I mean, that's a lot of money, right? It's a great trip somewhere in the world. So I don't want to discount that. And I have heard a lot of horror stories from my own couples, let alone other couples I talk to, about just not having really human conversations with vendors, and couples feeling like, well, this isn't fair. How could they do this to me? I'm going through so much with the pandemic. Yes. 905%. My heart will always lead with couples. I also don't want there to be this myth of that I'm a wedding planner and so I'm Scrooge McDuck diving into my vault full of gold coins. That's not true. Let me tell you right now, I am not some conglomerate. I'm not some faceless, you know, giant big bank. You know, I mean, I am one woman at her dining room table. Obviously different vendors have different scales of corporations, but most times wedding vendors are one to maybe a handful of people, right? And we are people who do not have any type of like organized a union. We don't have easy access to healthcare. We have unemployment right now because of the PUA program, but that's going to go away around Christmas in 2020. So I just, you know, when you pay me, the reason that couples, the money they pay me is non-refundable is because quite literally it is the money I use to pay my rent. So I break my payments into three. You know, I have 50% down payment, kind of a deposit, 25% due 60 days out, and 25% due 2 weeks. That money that comes to me is non-refundable because I get it. I take taxes out of it. I use it to pay for my Squarespace website and whatever, you know, operational costs I might have. And then I write myself a paycheck, and that's the money I take home to my husband. So, you know, I don't say that to excuse bad behavior. I think people need to be honest on both sides. But I have heard from a lot of couples like, this doesn't make sense to me. This isn't fair. They're ripping me off. It's a little bit more nuanced than that. And just please try and keep that in mind as much as possible.
Well, and I think the fact that you're saying that right now, I'm hoping that some of the brides listening, maybe they're just engaged, or maybe they're trying to figure out what to do, that they will absolutely have that conversation with their vendor, or maybe they'll just completely just rethink everything and just be like, okay, whoa, like, what do I really want to do? Like, maybe I just need to go to the backyard, you know? I mean,
totally.
So many people, there's so many different options. So your weddings that are scheduled for 2021, I have to know, I mean, are y'all still planning for COVID, or what?
Oh, million dollar question, huh? Well, I'm happy to talk about that. I also want to say for couples who are like actively planning right now, so like you said, maybe got engaged during the pandemic. So it's kind of like this new breed, right? Of almost like, okay, we got engaged when we knew COVID was a thing. So what do we do? I will just say, yes, please, I encourage couples, be empowered, ask those questions. Quality vendors have quality answers, particularly now. Okay. Like in the beginning part, if you'd asked me in March or April of this year, I don't know, right? I mean, we're all trying to figure it out. But at this point in the pandemic, most vendors have a COVID policy, have a COVID clause. They have run this gamut. And if you should ask that, what money won't I get back? Why won't I get it back? What are the deadlines here? And if they don't have answers that are quality answers, don't work with them. And if their answers don't vibe
There
with
you
you,
go.
don't work with them. Because it is a relationship at the end of the day. And it's a financial one, and you need to be honest about that. So just something I like to mention, because I think sometimes couples don't feel like they should ask that, but then it gets awkward on all sides. But as far as like, okay, so my 2021 weddings, I have 15 weddings on the books right now for 2021. Many of them actually came from couples that have gone and engaged during the pandemic. Are we planning for COVID? Hell yeah, we are. I don't want to be a doomsdayer about this, but I'm a big believer in, I mean, I'm a planner, right? I'm a wedding planner. So I have plan A, plan B, and plan C. And yes, we have to always prioritize health and safety. For my couples, a benchmark that I use a lot is 60 days. Often these conversations are happening much, much more before then, particularly when money is involved, because sometimes there are payments that are due before 60 days, but often payments aren't going to really start rolling in until closer to the wedding. And so what I do is I just have conversations with my couples about, okay, this is where we're at with state and county laws. Obviously, that's really different. Where I live in our part of the country, we have had, in my opinion, very strong, very good, very important regulations around events. Even then, there's a lot of gray area. In other parts of the country, there hasn't been as much guidance from the government. But we got to start from, is this legal? Is this a legal event we're having? I know that sounds silly. I have had to break up with couples this year because the weddings they were planning were not legal to do. So we got to start there. And then it's a gradient from talking about all the different aspects. Again, I use my own template as far as like, what do these elements of a wedding look like for safety? Do I want to build these things and we're all miraculously vaccinated and healthy by the time the weddings roll around in June and July? Oh boy, yes, I would love that. I'd love to not have to wear a face mask and a face shield to a wedding. I'd love to come home and not feel like, did I just expose my husband to a deadly virus? Right there with you, baby. But we have to plan until the plan can change, and can change in a way that, again, keeps people safe, keeps people alive.
Yeah, keeps everyone safe. Absolutely. So, I heard you say that you have a template. Can you guide the listeners as to where they can go to find out more details if they do have any
Totally. Yeah, no problem.
questions?
I will share the link with you too. But let me just look up. I think it's literally, well, first off, if you Google my name and COVID template, it'll come up. But it's just called, here's what a
Oh, cool.
COVID-19 safety policy for your wedding looks like. I make all my resources as a wedding planner available for free. They're just Google Docs or blog posts. Because I'm that couples that are empowered make better choices. And I think a lot of that comes from information sharing. But yeah, so it's a post. I wrote a blog about like what the different parts are, but then there's actually just a link to a Google Doc. It's a template. It's not, I'm not going to say that it's like 100% the best thing, but it's at least a way to start having a conversation with your partner and yourself about what part of this wedding do we need to think about. And when you have those conversations, and I say conversations because it's going to take more than one, give yourself a lot of time and space, because sometimes the answers that come up are difficult ones and challenging ones. But I will say, having gone through this exercise with a lot of couples, it is better to have them not than not to have them.
Absolutely. I think that it's very smart, and I'm so glad that you are offering this to couples.
Oh yeah, I mean, as much as I love weddings, and if you can't tell, I love weddings. I love people not dying more.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. We just have to be so smart. And 2020, I mean, not 2020. Let's forget 2020. No, I'm just kidding. 2021, I really just hope that it brings us just so much joy, and all of the couples that did reschedule their weddings, I hope that it brings them everything that they ever dreamed of. And like you said, I had my wedding in 2020 mm-hmm. this year, and it really was special. It really was not what I planned, not what I chose, but you know what? It was absolutely amazing, and I wouldn't change it for
the world. I read about it, and I thought it sounded glorious to me, right? You know, and I know it was really different, and I'm sure there was a lot of sadness and grief around choices you and your husband had to make. I also think that you two did a wonderful job of just prioritizing, you know, like, okay, we want to do this thing, right? We want to do this thing. We want to start this marriage right now in this moment. How do we do that? You know, how do we do that without hurting people, without hurting ourselves?
Right. Exactly. Exactly right. So do you have any other advice that you would like to leave brides, grooms, families, anything?
Well, two pieces. One is from pre-pandemic. And I say this to couples all the time. And I particularly say this to straight brides because, you know, the patriarchy is real. And so I often notice when I'm working with a straight couple that a lot of the work of planning a wedding often falls on the bride. Not always true. And if it still falls on a straight groom, he faces his own challenges. Sexism has a very horrible way of like attacking men in the wedding industry too. There's a lot of nasty isms in this industry, if you haven't noticed. But whoever is doing the both, the lion's share of the planning, I just want you to know that you're doing a good job. You are doing a good job. It is so challenging to plan a wedding because of emotional complications, financial complications. You don't get a sabbatical, so you're trying to fit this in between whatever you do for full-time work. It is hard, and it has only gotten harder this year, and it will probably only continue to be hard next year. Even if it's not as hard because we're not as blindsided, it's still going to be hard. So you're doing a good job. As long as you are thinking about what matters to you and your partner, as long as you're not endangering yourself, as long as you're just being honest and real about what matters to you, you're doing a really good job. The second thing that I like to talk about is joy. You know, you just said it, Jordy, of this is all about joy, right? You know, why do we have a wedding at all, right? And in this day and age, a lot of people have weddings to experience joy. And I think if you hold that as your guiding star, if that's the compass point that you follow as you're planning your wedding, you can't go wrong. Because if you prioritize joy, that will naturally lead to conversations around, well, how do we access that space? Okay, in a world where there's COVID, we might have to access that space by requiring testing. We might have to access that space by having a, whatever the county law is, but perhaps a 5-person wedding, you know? We might have to access that space by going completely outdoors. We might have to access that space by not hugging at our wedding. I mean, these are horrible choices we're having to make. But if you keep in mind that you're doing this to experience joy and to begin your marriage in a place of joy, you will be happy at the end of the day. I have seen it too many times in the 30 plus weddings that I've done during the pandemic and after the pandemic and before the pandemic. So you're doing a good job, and think about joy.
I love it. That sums it up. And that is so sweet of you just to remind the people that are planning the weddings to just really, they need to remember that, because it is so hard and it is so true. And then joy at the end of the day, girl, that's what it's all about.
It's easy to forget. It was easy to forget before because, you know, the wedding industrial complex, it happens, and it you get on that roller coaster and you forget which way is up. It happens. It's definitely hard now.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Elizabeth, thank you so much for being on with us today and sharing. And I know that so many people are going to get so much good information from this podcast. So thank you again. And guys, what I'll do is I will share that link that she sends me so you can look at the
Coco. Thank you so much, Jordy. It was a pleasure to be here.
Yes, you too. You have a good one. Bye. I hope you enjoyed that episode of Corona Brides with Elizabeth Kramer. And y'all, I feel like she gave us so many great tools and just so much great information. So those of you that are newly engaged, if you are, you know, debating whether or not to still have your wedding, oh my goodness, I feel like it is almost the end of the year. 2020 is almost to the end, and then we'll be in 2021. But there could be some of you still contemplating whether or not to get married. So what I'll do is I will share that COVID link, and then you can really just
decide what you think is best for you, what is best for your family. As she said, she's a wedding coordinator in Oregon, in Portland, Oregon. And so she only had 3 weddings this year, and then she had most of them rescheduled for next. But she's planning for COVID, because at this time, I think you really have to. We all thought maybe it would be gone by now, and it's not. So if you are recently engaged, I'm going to link that COVID, the guidelines, and also she brought up the state and the county guidelines. Definitely make sure that you're finding out about that before planning a gathering, just in case there are things that have changed in the recent days. But those of you that are recently engaged, first of all, I do want to say congratulations. I don't want anyone to be, you know, fearful, because there were a handful of us in 2021, more than a handful, I'm sorry, 2020, so many of us, we were basically blindsided. She used that word and I liked it, blindsided, not really knowing what to do. And so we made the best choice that we thought was best for our significant other and our families at that time. So if you're recently engaged or you're still contemplating whether or not to have your wedding in 2021, you know, just really dig deep and think about what's important. And even if it is small, it'll be perfect. And if you are able to have the wedding of as many people as you want, just make sure that you are doing it safely. Thank you so much for listening, guys. And I have more Corona Brides, more vendors coming your way. So stay tuned. Bye, guys. Oh, and also happy holidays and have a Merry Christmas.